And so I'll start it. Well, I've covered a lot of this, so I'll pass a lot of this stuff. We're all in the tankers. We drop off the tankers. Now we're heading inbound. Well, Robin Oles, do y'all know who Robin Oles is? Most of you know who he is? Probably one of the greatest fighter pilots the Air Force ever had. Best commander, best leader, you name it. He probably was at the absolute pinnacle. He was flying the MidCap flight. And so we got two Air Force flights behind the 105s. And so we're all staggered. Hold this thing just a second. We're all staggered. It's sort of like this right here. Lead flight, number two flight, this 105s. Number three flight, number four flight, five and six were the F4s. So we had a lot of airplanes pretty much in, and we were actually what's called a pod formation. We had ECM jammers on our airplanes, and so it's a lot more complicated than that. We had vertical separation. We had all sorts of separations to try to completely blank out these SAM surface-to-air missile radars. So they would see is a blob up there. Well, they got through that by pointing them up ballistically and setting the altitudes because they knew where we were. There wasn't much doubt about that. And they still were pretty effective. But anyway, so we're formed up now, and we're coming around. And if you ever look at a map, there's a ridge that points toward Hanoi from the Chinese border, southeast, runs southeast toward Hanoi. And we call it Thud Ridge because we operated there more than anybody else. And it went up to all the way to 5,000 feet. Now, you're talking about almost sea level, everything else. So it was extremely visible. And we call it, and we used it as one of our big landmarks for navigation purposes. And we were coming down. Now, when we got in the area, the Air Force also had these airplanes. We call them Big Eye. Big Eye had radar, and they were actually looking for MiGs taking off out of Hanoi. And sure enough, Big Eye, and we hadn't seen very few MiGs during my tour. I started in May all the way through. I had probably, at this point, right close to 55, 60 missions. Very few MiGs. And so they started calling Banish Bullseye. Well, Banish are what they referred to as the MiG. That meant that they're taking off out of the Hanoi area. Then they started calling out Vectoring West. And, well, this was an afternoon sortie. Where's the sun in the afternoon? Yeah, about 3 o'clock position. Or, about 9 o'clock if you're looking at 12 o'clock, using that as a reference. So it was in the west. And these MiGs were taking off out of Hanoi, heading west. And we were coming in. Remember, I mentioned the two refueling routes, depending on which way you were coming in. We were coming in from the west, overland, where we did our refueling. And so we're coming in. The MiGs are obviously up. They're headed out our direction somewhere. So Robin says, okay, we're searching. We're looking for them. And we now have turned a corner and are heading toward Hanoi. We've gone around the backside of Thud Ridge. We're now pointed toward Hanoi. And we're just about to reach the push-up point. And the Big Eye starts calling, Banish, at your six. And so everybody's looking. Force commander calls Robin and says, Robin, find these guys. Get them off our ass. And so Robin said, I'm doing everything I can, guys. We're looking for them. And Robin Oles, when he said he was doing everything he can, I promise you, he was doing everything he could. But if you walk down the flight line that way, there's a building that has two MiGs sitting in front of it. Go step in front of that MiG-21. And look nose on to that airplane. You can't see, and we're right here in the parking lot where you're looking at that MiG. Think about being 3 or 4 miles out, coming out of the sun. You can't see the damn thing. They are just so invisible. It's incredible. Well, Rob is doing everything he could, but he was trying to stay near us as well, so he couldn't go 40 miles behind us so he could throw his search radars toward us. It just doesn't work like that. And so anyway, two MiG-21s come through. They launch out two of their ATOL missiles, which I remember I said earlier is a heater, a heat seeker, and knock down two F4s right behind my flight. So we hadn't even hit the push-up point. Now we got guys hollering, Mayday, Mayday, bail out, bail out. Beeper's going off, and when you eject from one of these fighters, you got a beeper that goes off, and it sounds like, ew, 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 We got three of those things going off because one of the guys did not get out of the airplane. We got three of those beepers going off. We're trying to concentrate on going inbound on the target. And, guys, that was a lot of stuff taking place. And, like I said, we hadn't even hit the push-up point. Well, but what you do, as I mentioned earlier, there's nothing you could do about those guys. There is no rest gap where they were. We kept driving. We kept driving right on in toward the target. And we did. And when we got to the target, I started seeing all these MiG-17s. Well, our job was to bomb a railroad yard, not to chase MiGs. So we're doing our thing now. And we're oriented in our positions for rolling in on the target. We're about 15,000 feet and would roll in on the target, usually make about a 45, 90-degree turn rolling in as you approach the target. Right before I reached the roll-in point, the F-105 had probably the most sophisticated advanced fire control system of any fighter in the world at that point, time, and space. It was deadly accurate. I've shot many, many air-to-air targets with that airplane. If you're smooth at all and you put the pipper on some part of an airplane, that's what you're going to hit. Well, the only thing you got to have the pipper. The pipper is a little dot. And then outside from the dot, you got these rings. That there's two concentric rings, and it gives you a reference of how big that airplane is. Because you can see, as you're getting closer, obviously his wings are going to fill up more of that area. So you had an idea of your range, how far out you are. Plus, when you had your radar working locked on, it's telling you exactly how far out it is. It's beautiful. Well, the only problem is you've got to have those rings and a pipper up there to use them. And my bulb burned out as I was approaching the target. That means I'm looking at just a clean windscreen, and it's just like there's just glass up there. And so I had no sight, but I said, well, I've been here, done this many times. So I just rolled in. I looked about right. And at 7,000 feet, I pickled off. I pulled hard to the right like our flight leader had briefed. And I started looking for him. And as I'm looking for him, I look up. And heading west away from the target area was a F-105 Thunder Chief. He was going straight and level, which is absolutely, like I mentioned earlier, an absolute no-no. And there were two MiG-17s right on his butt. The lead MiG, it's got a 37 millimeter, I think it's 37, 35 millimeter cannon in the nose. And that thing is going poof, 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 poof. Just like that, I could still see it like August 23rd, 1967, the picture I was looking at. He's shooting at this 105. He's only about 1,500 feet behind him. The guy's going straight and level, had no clue these MiGs were there. And I holler out over the radio. I said, 105, head west, you got two MiGs on your ass. Do something. Of course, there was 20 105s up there. And he just kept driving straight. And in all fairness, what we generally did is switch over to our flight frequency because there's so much chatter up there, so much conversation. You couldn't communicate as a flight to get rejoined. And so he probably never heard it, but still he was going straight and level. So I said, well, here's your shot. And I said, I got to get these guys off of him. I had a sidewinder. That's a heater. And it seeks out the temperature. It looks for the heat signature from the jet engine. And that's what it hones in on. And my sidewinder, and it makes this growling sound, rawr, 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 in your headset when it's got a heat source. And it was looking at that damn heat source, and it was just screaming its head off, come on, Dave, let me fly, let me fly. And I look at that 105, I looked at MiG behind him. I couldn't do it. The 105's engine is probably four, maybe five times bigger than a MiG's engine. putting out that much more heat, and I could never have lived with myself if I let that thing fly and have it go to the 105. Remember, I didn't have a sight. That would have been the way to go. So anyway, I just turned the volume off on the Sidewinder, and I punched everything off the airplane, my tanks, my bomb rack. That was about back then, that was a Cadillac, $6,000 for a bomb rack. I punched it off with a panic button.